This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back on to another edition of the podcast. I am Brad Brown. Thank you for joining me today, coming to you from a somewhat stormy Cape Town. We've had the weirdest weather because it's been like crazy hot, like seriously, seriously hot. And all of a sudden having a cold front coming through, the wind is absolutely howling. It sounds like my roof of my house is about to blow off. So if you hear something major, that's what's happened. I'll be back again soon, but hopefully it won't happen while I'm recording, okay? Today we touch base with Tim Ballantyne. To find out more about his Ironman swim and some of the things he's done to get faster and better and more efficient in the water. That's all coming up on today's show. And I've also been talking about it extensively on the podcast. If you're looking for some help and guidance on your triathlon journey, if you're looking for an online community of athletes, like-minded athletes, just like you are on a journey to become better, then make sure you check out what we've built over at thekonaedge.com/coaching. It's an online platform where you can get training programs written by one of the best coaches around. You get access to him, plus our other four coaches as well, a dietitian, sports nutritionist, and a whole lot more at a phenomenal, phenomenal price. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. And as a loyal listener of the podcast, and because I'm a partner in the business, if you use the coupon code KONA at checkout, we'll give you a pretty hefty discount. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. We head back to Australia now to catch up with the returning guest. Tim Ballantyne joins us. Tim, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be back, mate.
Tim, in our first chat, you said your run was obviously your favorite, and then it was the swim was the second best and the bike third. But you grew up swimming, which is, as an age grouper, half the battle won.
Yeah, it's handy, definitely. It's definitely handy. It sets, you know, I say a good swim sets up a good day. I must say that the nature of Ironman racing has changed somewhat, given the traffic on the bike. So potentially the stronger swimmers aren't quite, you know, it's not quite as an advantage of what it perhaps used to be. But I still like to push it on the swim.
Tim, tell me, over your triathlon career, what are some of the things that you've done to get better in the water that you think have really moved the needle in your performance?
Well, traditionally as a junior swimmer, I never did any open water swimming, obviously, so I was just following the black line. So I've done a lot of open water swimming to really refine that craft. It is a skill, open water swimming, in my opinion. So I do at least once a week. Where I live, I'm lucky enough that I can swim year-round once a week in the ocean, so I do that, be it in a wetsuit or swim skin or Speedos if I'm brave enough. Certainly, yeah, I like to get out there. I think that, you can have the very best of swim preps, but if you've only been in the open water once or twice, well, it can unravel pretty quickly.
I think that's such an important point as well, though, Tim, because I remember when I first got going in the sport, I'd done lots of swimming growing up as well. And my first triathlon was the first time I'd ever swum open water. And it's not that I was freaked out by the darkness of the water. It was just, from a mindset thing, going, hang on a sec, I can't put my feet on the bottom in the middle of this thing, and there are no black lines. So as much as you say it's a different skill, it's a mindset thing too. You need to wrap your head around, like, hang on a sec, this is very different to being in my local gym swimming pool.
If you're doing something for the first time in a triathlon, you're in trouble. I like to swim in the open water, and also I love the salt water, so it's a bit of fun.
As far as the role of squad training, I mean, growing up, you obviously swam squad. In your sort of coaching experience, do you think that's a must-have for someone who wants to improve their swimming performance?
Look, I'm going to say no. I don't think it's a must-have. I think that, and everyone would have heard about sound technique and how to get that. There's some really just good clinics, you know, on this side of the world. There's some great, you can just go and get a technique touch up every couple times a year, go away, work on some stuff. So I wouldn't say you have to swim in a squad. But it just it really depends on where you sit. It's easy for me to say, like, you know, you're asking someone who is, you know, a strong swimmer, so perhaps that's not for everyone. But I certainly don't think it's a must-have. It's nice. Yeah, like, if you are going to swim in a squad, I would, you know, triathlon, I'd go to a triathlon squad as well. Yeah, that's just my opinion, Brad.
As far as your favorite workouts as an athlete, what do you love? I mean, if you could only ever do one workout over and over again for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
I'm big on 200s. I hate them. But I think 200s is kind of like, it's a bit like why Usain Bolt didn't do the 4 and 8, because it's just that awkward, uncomfortable, like, you don't actually, if you do 100s, yeah, it's painful, like on a time cycle, but 200s, you don't actually get that much slower. You're just hanging on for longer. And I have a workout that really is a great barometer for me. It's a 10 by 200 setup. And, I basically try and touch on the 230 and leave on the 3. And if I can do that 10 times, then I know my swimming's up to scratch. And perfect this morning, you know, I'm 6 weeks out from a race, so I'm up to 8 at the moment before basically my head explodes. but, you know, I'm up to 8, so I know that that's going to give me confidence that in a couple of weeks I'll get my 10 and then I can build on that. But, yeah, 200s for me is quite uncomfortable.
How often would you do, I mean, you spoke about testing yourself and your athletes on an ongoing basis. How often would you do a set like that to sort of gauge where you're at in your build-up?
I do that set every week in a race prep. Yep. Yep. I just include that. So I try and get as far as I can get, once a week. I swim, I'm going to say 4, mostly 5 times a week. And I've got a swimming background. So, you know, you have people trying to get better and they swim 3 times a week and no doubt you'll get better, but take it from someone that's a swimmer. Like I need to swim a lot. And I, you know, when I touch the wall, I know I'm alive. Mm. Like I'm working. So, I think there's this tendency where if you don't like swimming, that's okay. But swimming's almost like the recovery of the 3. It's like, oh, I'm off my legs. And I think that's a very dangerous trap. Because if you can turn yourself into a solid swimmer, you're coming out of the water with a very different kind of athlete on the bike. So like, you know, why would I try and cut 3 minutes off my swim, right? Well, 3 minutes off your swim might mean 10 minutes on the bike because you're just around different people. So it can change the complexion of your day. So don't underestimate the swim.
I love that, Tim. And that's such a valuable point. And especially coming from someone who is a good swimmer, that you could almost afford to back off a bit on your swim. But you know the importance of being in the water often to keep that feel. And it's also not necessarily from a running perspective, as an example, if you want to get better, the answer's not always running more because you're then putting yourself at added risk for injury. Whereas with swimming, because it's no impact, you can Yep. tend to do more often than you would potentially on a running program, as an example.
100%. Swimming helps cycling and running. I think running just helps running because Yep. it's a pretty brutal sport, but swimming helps the 3. It helps it. It's a brilliant sport, but it's not for everyone. I get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tim, it's been great. Those tips are amazing, and I look forward to talking about your bike, but we'll say that for next time now.
Good on you, Brad. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much to Tim for joining us here on today's podcast. We're back again tomorrow with another edition. And we're going to be talking some biking tomorrow, so make sure you join me then. If you haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, if I could ask you a massive favor, if you wouldn't mind doing that, it really helps us grow the podcast and it gets in front of more athletes. And I want to try and help as many people as I can. So if you haven't done it yet, please do. We really, really would appreciate it. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.